Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast, tonight.
But first.
We keep up the thoughts, being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Bubba.
Killed it. Good job.
He is Will Simmons.
Nah, you killed it. Good job.
And I'm Spencer Kitley. This is After Reality. Thank you for tuning in tonight. It's the challenge. Final reckoning here on the Challenge Podcast on the After Reality TV Podcast Network. So we had an exciting week this week. We actually got a complete episode, which I'm excited to talk about. Will, what's going on in your world?
That was a good episode. I feel like we're finally getting somewhere, slowly but surely. So it's keeps building upon each week, which I can dig.
Yeah, I mean, this week we get an Armageddon. We get a little bit from the Redemption House. We get a full challenge where we know who wins, all in one episode. We cut back on the drama. We had so much drama in the last couple of weeks. Not much drama at all this week, which is kind of fun.
Thank God.
Before we get going, remind everybody where they can find us online.
You can follow us on Twitter at After Reality Pod and like the After Reality TV Podcast page on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Also subscribe, download us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Google Play. Also check us out at afterrealitypodcast.com.
Yeah, wherever you're listening now, go ahead, move on over there, hit that subscribe button, and we love you for it. Let's go ahead and dive in here. It's been an interesting season. I'm enjoying the season. We've had a lot of challenge over the last year or so, but let's go ahead and dive in here. We left off knowing the Bananas and Tony were going to be the key cog in this thing. They won. They had the two power votes. And not really knowing which way they were going. Last week, we hypothesized a couple different things, you and I, and they ended up being the two that they were choosing from. You had said Shane and Nelson. I had said maybe Hunter and Smashley. And those seemed to be the two that they were down to choosing from.
I was right.
you were right. Well, and our observation that we both kind of had last week was they kind of seem to be getting back into each other's good graces, and the trust is back. And Tony even said as much, which could put us in an interesting scenario if this is the team that gets to the end and wins, and we have the Sarah Johnny scenario, which we know is a thing for this season, about how that would shake down between the two of them and what the actual choices are available. But going into the vote, Smashley's stressing. And then Hunter's, I'm probably a little stressed too, but she's stressed because of that relationship she has with Hunter. So much so that she's melting down, crying, and just overall sad in the back of the house. And we know how she goes. This is not foreign ground for Ashley, right?
Not at all.
And now we go to Armageddon. It's just a matter of how these squares are going to light up. Shane plans on voting for Kyle and Brad, and Sylvia and Joss would burn on one another. And then Shane's trying to get two votes on a number of people. It makes no sense, anything he's talking about. And no one understands it, and I sure don't understand it. Did you make any sense of this?
Man, when you're trying to explain this, this is one of the few times where I'm like, I completely have no idea what you're talking about. It's kind of like when they start explaining what the games are, and everyone's like, yeah, got it. But this one, I'm like, Shane, what are you doing? But this is one of the few times I see Shane's brain actually working, instead of like working against him.
Yeah, I think the hair growth helmet's maybe getting into his brain.
Oh man, he's sucking some oxygen out of his head or something. Yeah. But it was impressive. He knew what he was saying, and everything he was saying actually was something that did make sense, but no one really got it because it was so damn complicated.
Yeah, I don't think it made sense. I think there was enough people there that kind of had a decent enough head on their shoulders that he had thought he had come up with Cam strategy all over again, but not so much. There's too many moving parts. You can't guarantee things are going to happen. But Hunter when they went in to vote, he wanted to vote out Kara and Maria, which was a little different. Smash wanted to go with the Lavender plan. And then Zach and Amanda, Kyle and Brad, they end up burning on one another. And then we go to Armageddon, and that's where we get the votes reeled on what looks like a really cold night in South Africa. we've had a lot of fluctuation in the weather on this thing. I mean, at least they're not in water like they were last time on a frigid night.
But yeah.
The most votes were for Zach and Amanda, Shannon Nelson, and Jose and Devon. Of course, we know how this goes when they're all tied.
Yep.
Tony and Bananas get to decide, and they choose who they had put their two votes on, Shane and Nelson. No one else had voted for them, so they got their pick of the litter, where they made what I thought, well, was a very interesting decision. They chose to face Kyle and Brad in the elimination.
Yep. They did.
I know how this thing shakes out, but are these guys nuts? Why are you doing this? And we talk about Big Brother, and we talk about big moves and Survivor, and you're trying to impress someone. You're not trying to impress anybody on the challenge. You're just trying to get to the finale so you can go win. This is dumb. Why are you not going against Jose and Devon?
I don't think it's dumb at all. I think this is perfect because you beat Kyle and Brad here. You may not have to see Kyle and Brad again. You beat Jose and Devon again. You're going to lose to Kyle and Brad later. Take a chance. No one takes chances in this show, and it pisses me off. Johnny gets to coast by because everyone's too scared to mess with him, so they just let him keep coasting. Devon finally took the guy out. I appreciate them going after each other. It makes the show better, too. I'd rather see good matchups rather than just like, yeah, we're just throw Devon and Jose in there because we haven't seen that before. They are beatable, but they keep winning. Play against somebody that never goes in there because these earning your stripe moves never happen anymore. They just don't. So I loved it. It is a little nuts. Shane's crazy, but Shane and Nelson are pretty good competitors. And it was, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I like Kyle. I like Brad. Kyle's a dipshit, but I like Brad. I felt bad for Brad, but Kyle has kind of made this bed, so not surprised.
I don't have a problem with I like Brad. I like Kyle. I despise Shane and wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire. Nelson's fine, whatever. He's never earned anything on this show, and Shane sure hasn't. What you're saying is accurate. But I don't think it's smart.
But it is smart because if you have to beat these guys later, like in a physical competition, it's gonna be tough to beat Brad and Kyle.
Let somebody else beat them.
Yeah, but who says you're gonna get that chance? Take them out now. Yeah. And if you lose to Brad and Kyle, it's better than losing to Jose and Devon, and you're in the same place. So why don't you just go for somebody good? And if you can beat them, you beat them, and you don't have to worry about it again.
All I have to do is get to the finale, and it is how I look at it. I'm not real worried about who's there with me.
But you kind of have to be because you can't beat – there's certain people that you are not good against. And Shane knows how good they are, and they're not the best. So you go for somebody, cut the jugular, makes it easier. Hey, if you have to go against Jose and Devon in the end, isn't that better for you than going against Kyle and Brad?
In a finale? Yeah.
Think about it.
But I obviously we know how it shakes out. But I thought that was highly questionable.
I think your personal attachment to some people impede your vision sometimes.
I don't have a personal attachment to Brad and Kyle.
You prefer Brad and Kyle over Shane and Nelson.
Absolutely.
Yes. You said that. You said that. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
But that doesn't mean that I think it's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's an absolutely great idea. No one ever takes these chances.
People take chances.
When? Okay. No, they don't. They do not go after the people they should go after. They always scoot around them because they don't want to. They want to skirt, like they want to ruffle any feathers. That's why Johnny lasts as long as he does sometimes, because no one wants to go after him.
He's also good at things.
He's great at things, but you should still go after him because you can't beat him in a final. So take him to a challenge that he's never in, and beat him there.
Yeah, I see. If you
what?
You know, if you take him to elimination. And you lose, you never had a chance to beat him in the finale.
But you still had a chance to beat him. And if you get him out, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you have to beat him at some point. What's the difference between a finale or an elimination? Either way, if you win, he's gone.
Because I can,
you win.
I can win money at the end. Even yeah, if
but not necessarily. Not if he's in the front of you. You won't win when he's in front of you. Johnny's record is impeccable. We all know that. So let's get rid of the snake, the head of the snake now, and watch the body die. The way he works. And they can't go after Johnny, and they can't go after Johnny this week anyway. So what's the next best thing, Kyle and Brad? It's an awesome move.
They can't go after Johnny and Tony, period. And they're not going to, because no one's going to beat them in an elimination unless they're playing freaking Light Bright.
Well,
they have
we'll see.
Their skill set is diversified enough that I don't see anybody wanting to mess with them in an elimination.
But here's the deal. You're not going to beat them in the finale. So I'd rather take you to an elimination, get you out now, and be done. This game is only going to end with
one person. Because you and I are saying the same things over and over again, and we're not going to agree with one another.
Well, I know, but I'm
like, I'm Zach and you're Amanda. So
why don't you just shut your effing mouth, your fucking stupid mouth?
Because, like, you just like. You're in favor of making of being friends or a big move on Big Brother. I'm in favor of taking the easiest person to the end to beat over there.
Yes.
And then here I'm in favor of, I want to be here at the end to have a chance to win.
Sure. Yeah, you always want to have you're not, what you're saying isn't wrong. I'm just saying the move is very smart, because if you could take out somebody now, take them out. Why not? Plus, they know the redemption's house behind them. That's another thing. It's a fail safe, right? They lose that thing, fail safe is they get this, they go to the redemption
house. But the redemption house is a total crapshoot. I mean, the redemption house is a, you pull the double cross. I mean, CT and Jenna and all these people didn't have a chance to even play this season.
Yeah, it's a risk, but it's a risk either way. Take a chance once in a while. That's all.
And if I'm on TV longer, that's good for my challenge career and longevity and coming back.
Sure. But like, just like with Devin, I mean, like Devin taking a chance after Johnny, like you got to take that chance sometimes, because you may not make it to the end because somebody else might cut your cord. So take it now. That's all I'm saying. And, you should.
It's okay. It's okay that you're wrong, Will. But let's go ahead and talk.
I'm about, so much more right.
Let's talk about
Twitter. Lightweight. Alan Aguirre, I want your opinion. You know, reach out to us when you listen to this.
You were sparring with Alan this week, and then I jumped in on it too.
because he was like, crazy.
It looks like it's one person, but it's our Twitter handle for the podcast.
But both of us were saying the same thing.
I finally called him out and said, "Hey, Alan." So you're biased. Yes, I am.
It moves when you talk about her. I get it, dude. Anyway, we're playing tread lightly after our heated discussion there. There are two treadmills going in opposite directions. In the middle of those treadmills are two goals, one for each team. Each team has a bin of balls. And the partners have to use a pair of sticks to bring the ball across the treadmill and deposit the ball into the bin. this is a game we have not seen. This is a game we should totally see again. And I thought this was awesome and fun to watch.
I didn't understand the concept of what was happening until we got to see them try it.
Until they stepped on it.
Like, explanation in words does not tell you what's happening here.
No. Once again, sometimes you explain the games, you're like, huh? And then you watch it, you're like, got it. Like, so the point is, treadmills in opposite directions.
Yes.
Right. And the treadmills going opposite directions. The two teams are sharing the same treadmills. I mean, as soon as they hit this thing, I was like, oh my God. Because watching it, I'm like watching like demo of it. You're like, oh, well, this is going to be good for Brad and Kyle, I think, just because of what's going on. Then you step on the treadmill and it completely ends everything.
Have you ever been bucked off of a treadmill?
Yes, I have.
It's kind of scary when you get thrown off of a treadmill.
Yeah. One went on me. The actual rubber mat that you run on actually snapped on me.
Ooh.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I've had it like kind of hitch a little.
Yeah.
Had it like completely throw me once a long time ago. But when it hitches, that's even more scary because you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
So you hit a speed bump.
No, absolutely. It's kind of.
This thing,
this is comedy. I mean, people are flying all over the place.
It's a comedy act. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not very physical, as you point out. It's more technical, but you've got to have some that holding that thing that steady, because that those two rods are not really much to hold on to. But Shannon Nelson kind of blow this thing out of the water. They get a 6-2 lead, and then ended up winning 10-3. Kyle and Brad just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, one teammate has to kind of walk, and the other one has to sprint.
Right, and they figured out the rotation of it. And once they got going, it was just nonstop. This is like one of those, like, you didn't watch the new Survivor, but like there's some cool moments of like you don't think this have a chance, and they do, right? So this was one of those moments where I thought, once again, you're right by saying they're kind of crazy by taking this chance, but here is the opportunity. Take the opportunity now, and they pull out a landslide victory. I like Brad. I was sad to see Brad go there. Plus, Brad looks like a psycho when he loses. But this does give us a nice opportunity to see Kyle and Brad, see Paulie and Natalie in the Redemption House, which is something I was hoping to happen.
And don't forget Cam and Kaylee. They got to see Cam and Kaylee also.
Great.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I mean, Brad and Kyle leave, and probably one of the few comps that we'll see this season that they actually would have lost to these guys in, much the same way that Johnny lost the Light Bright thing. But they go to the Redemption House. We're expecting fireworks. Brad and Polly sit 3 feet from one another in a group, and they just have a calm conversation. Nothing happens. It was such a letdown in the Redemption House this week.
Yeah. I think it was a smart move by Polly though. No reason to like cause this huge stink in here just now, especially after watching the Kaylee and Natalie thing kind of blow up. It's like, yeah, we'll just play this cool for a little bit.
Yeah. I thought Brad would come at him a little bit more, and maybe there was more of a discussion. It just wasn't a time for it in the episode, because we did have wall to wall stuff, including the challenge this week, which was called Caged In. Just a brief synopsis in case you didn't watch the show. To begin, one player is on the inside of a cage and one is on the outside of the cage. The person outside the cage runs over to a tree line to collect tools, throws those tools into the cage along with sticks or whatever other things they've gotten from the trees. The person in the cage has to build a makeshift pole to reach the keys at the top of the cage, unlock themselves, and then together they race to a puzzle and solve it. There is one instruction that's not in there, which would have been helpful for Tony and Bananas, and that was maybe read what's on the walls of your cage, which seems pretty straightforward for a veteran pair, right?
Yeah, but it depends on which person is in the cage and which one's not. Because if Johnny's in that cage, Johnny's going to look at those walls.
Right.
Tony is not that perceptive.
Also, they got out of their cage so fast. They weren't there very long to look at those walls.
Nope.
Some of those other ones were in there for 10, 15 minutes.
Yep. These are one of those comps where you feel like it's one-sided, but it actually is a leveling of people's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. So coming into this thing, we knew that it was going to finally be a punishment for the loser, which I been kind of wanting all season.
I agree. It's
not as severe as you're automatically going into the elimination, but we'll find out next time what that disadvantage is. But in this thing, all of the people that were doing the retrieving all had different strategies. But for Bananas and Tony's, Keys immediately, they head out. Jose and Devon, pretty quickly thereafter, and then Zach and Amanda are next. All of the puzzle answers, as we kind of alluded to, were on the walls of the cage. Antonio and Bananas don't know anything that were on the walls of the cage. Had they known, this is a win going away. Like, these guys were on cruise control. It would have been as impressive as the HOH win last week on Big Brother that was done in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
They don't know. Zach and Amanda end up winning. Tony and Bananas end up having to go all the way back to the cage, as do Smashley and Hunter, two of the stronger physical teams. And Bananas and Tony end up placing fifth. Kara and Marie finish last, and they'll be the owners of that significant disadvantage next time around. Like this comp?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, like, I like the fact that they didn't let us know that you need to have this other piece of the puzzle to figure everything out. I like they left that out. Just kind of like, once again, it was one of the, you can kind of like just take everyone's skill set and level it off to where it's like no one really has an advantage. But, you know, this is, I know Zach hates Amanda, but Amanda does pull out some moves from time to time, and this is one of them. She's perceptive and she's actually pretty smart. So Alan's girl comes through for Zach, which, big fan of Zach, so all good on that end. But Cara and Marie, geez, terrible.
I like that
they kind of just need to go home.
Everybody's wall was different. I like that part. And everybody had different.
Yeah, that was key. Right.
Because once, yeah. I was thinking once Amanda and Zach got it, I was like, oh, well, why don't they just cheat? But they actually, there's different copies of the test, if you will. And as a viewer, we didn't even really realize that there was stuff written on those walls until we got to the puzzle with Tony and Bananas, and it became apparent. So Zach and Amanda won. How's this go next time, Will?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Internal battle for sure.
Yeah, because it's not going to be Shane, and it can't be Shane and Nelson for Amanda. But I don't know. Davon and Jose just seem like an easy option again.
Yeah, so their choices are Davon and Jose, Shane and Nelson, Sylvia and Joss, Bananas and Tony, Marie and Kara. It's got to be maybe Marie and Kara or Davon and Jose.
Yeah, because I don't think they go after Shane and Nelson. So, yeah, I think that's probably your best bets. And I think Kara and Marie might be the best option.
Yeah, well, we know Amanda doesn't like Kara.
Yeah.
And I think those are probably the only two teams that they could agree on to put their two votes on.
Right. At this point, yeah.
Because that pair, along with Smashley and Hunter, are probably the two most contentious pairings on the show. Like, Devon and Jose get along fine. Shane and Nelson are getting along fine. Same with Sylvia and Joss, Bananas and Tony. Marie and Kara have some conflict, but they seem to be playing well enough together, even though they don't perform well together.
No.
So, yeah, I think those would definitely be the choices. It'll be a battle of wills, and I think it's going to be a battle of wills from here on out. Particularly after we put someone in, and it's only going to be one team go in, because we know next week is Mercenaries with Corey and Devin, which could be really interesting if you pick Corey and Devin against Kara and Marie.
Yeah.
They would really have to throw out some kind of mental challenge, which would be kind of a disappointment for a mercenary challenge.
Yeah, I don't think they go mental. I think it's definitely going to have some physicality to it. It might be like a two-part kind of thing where it's like half puzzle, half something else. But I don't think you just go all puzzle.
Right. So that'll be interesting. I mean, while Corey and Devin are pretty decent players, they're not the most physical guys that we've had on the show. I mean, Corey likes to think he is, but he's not.
And, no.
And Devin is the more the brains than the brawn.
Yeah. But he is buffing up his dad bod, so maybe he's got a little more to him.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see where we go from here. I know we go with you crushing me over on Fantasy for Reality, fantasythenumeral4reality.com. Not much left in the tank for me. It's Cara and Marie and Tony and Bananas while Will is on cruise control. He's getting to learn what cruise control feels like in the fantasy games, which I'm sure is fun.
Vroom, vroom, my dude. Vroom, vroom.
So anything else before we go? I'm thinking we probably have maybe a month, 5 weeks left in the show.
I'd say about 4.5 months. We're into a slowdown section again. Yeah, this episode was like one of the better episodes, just full circle, just because like we get some action of all sides and we actually see some things resolved. So keep these up going. These are great. I'm sure it won't happen. They'll probably have another one where we only get partial episodes soon. But this is definitely a good one, kind of pushing things in the right direction of like there are some chances being taken. People are going for it, and that's always more fun to see than just taking a safe route. So I'm digging it.
So we have three pairs in the Redemption House. Following the Mercenary Armageddon, we'll have a fourth pair in the Redemption House. I assume at that point we'll double cross Armageddon, put someone in the house, and then that's our final six. Would appear to be the path,
right?
Which it's going to be very crucial who comes back in the house. I think more so than the other two times. It's going to be crucial which pair gets back in there, and not knowing if it will be perhaps Cara and Marie versus Corey and Devin, or if it's someone else. Could be very interesting. If Corey and Devin end up back in that house, that could really create a new dynamic. Am I misguided, but that Corey is buddies with Nelson?
Yeah, they're buddies.
And Devin is
buddies with Nelson.
Has a relationship with Nelson and Hunter, I think.
Yeah. They're all already the one guys, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birds of a feather.
There we go.
All right. Anything else on the challenge before we get out of here?
Nope. But you can find Reality Pod and like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, iTunes, Google Play. Also, check out our website, afterrealitypodcast.com, and find me on iFellOver45 on Twitter and Instagram.
And, of course, don't forget to check out the Mixed Bag podcast this week, where we're recapping the finale of Big Brother. We're also doing our all-time Big Brother Mount Rushmores. Ours vary a little bit. And it was a fun show, fun season of Big Brother. So check that out over on the Mixed Bag. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Spencer Kitley. That's all one word. Until we chat again, we remind you, all's fair, love, war, challenges.